This morning we're going to continue my message series on just taking a whole look at the sort of Christmas story from different angles. This series I've been calling The Gifts of Christmas are really all about the gifts that we've received in Christ. And the first week was to talk about Jesus as the gift of a king, that there is one who is coming that is the ruler of our lives. He announces a kingdom that we get to belong and be citizens in, that we really don't deserve to be a part of, but it's a gift to us that we would have a king and we can belong to Christ and his kingdom. We have, then last week I talked about the gift of a savior. All right, I might have my weeks flipped around. It's been December, so you guys have the December brain too, right? Where it's like all confusing. But then we talked about the gift of a savior, that we have in Christ one who has saved us, redeemed us, and that we have, without deserving it, been given the gift of Christ Jesus, our savior, our redeemer, and we have new life in him. This morning, I would like to talk to us about the gift of a shepherd. And it comes from a particular passage, and it's from Micah 5. And we see Micah 5 get used in the gospel narrative of Matthew, when Matthew was telling the story of Christ coming into the world. He tells the story of the Magi who go to Herod. And Herod is an evil ruler, and he's just a wicked man, and he's extremely paranoid about someone coming and taking his throne. If you think about the ancient world, there were, kings didn't have their power sometimes for very long, and so the paranoia that someone would take your power from you was probably rather common, and so it's justifiable paranoia. So when he hears that there's a king about to be born, the Magi tell him this, and they say, he says, where is this baby going to be born? And the Magi, they quote Micah 5, 4. If you would, but we can find it in Matthew's gospel, in Matthew chapter 2. So I'll read chapter 2, starting in verse 1. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem, and they asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people, chief priests, and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. And they said, "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written." And so then they quote Micah 5. "But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." In all of the sort of things that we can think about at Christmas, I thought it would be important this week to really focus in just on one aspect of who Christ is and what he was all about. Jesus Christ is our good shepherd. When they announced that out of Bethlehem there would come a ruler and he would shepherd the people of Israel, it was this sort of invitation into all of the sort of narratives and stories told of the shepherds, of that there are sheep that are going to be guided by this new leader. And so I want to focus in on what it means for us to have the good shepherd in Christ and the gift of this leader in our life. And so if you've followed along so far, we have the gift of a king in which we are servants. We have the gift of a savior in which we are the redeemed and we belong. And we have the gift of a shepherd. And that gift of a shepherd is one who will care for us, guide us, lead us, and protect us. And so we have our salvation cared for in Christ. We have our citizenship taken care of, and we have our daily needs met and cared for in Christ. And so this morning, I really want it to be the most simple message and reminder for you this week. Everyone should be able to get a candy cane. I thought, what a good illustration for the kids to remind them that this candy cane is all about Jesus, that it's also a shepherd hook. And so this week, as you, I know it's simple and it might even be a little bit silly, but just to remind yourself as you see it on your Christmas tree that you have in Christ Jesus the Good Shepherd. When I think about shepherding, though, the obvious place to go is Psalm 23. And so I'd like to take us there this morning. Tammy was doing an excellent job greeting this morning, and I hope that everyone got a card with Psalm 23 on it. If you didn't, that's okay. This is the one that I'm going to read, though, because the ESV sounds a lot more like the KJV, and the KJV is probably the way that you memorized Psalm 23, if you've memorized it. This is a little bit updated. It's more updated than the King James. So this is the English Standard Version of it. And I'm just going to read this, and hopefully you have the card, and there's homework with this card. There's a reason why I had it distributed. So I'm just going to read it to you this morning. A Psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The 23rd Psalm to me is so much more than something that we should read when people pass away, that it's so much more than a scripture text for a funeral. It's a scripture text for me for daily Christian wisdom and understanding and comfort and strength. I have been meeting with a group of guys on Tuesday mornings for quite a while, and when we first started working on just Bible study and digging in together, we're going through this study. It was called the Good and Beautiful Life series, and at the end of every week we had a homework assignment of something that we were to be trying to do, and there was a whole bunch of stuff that you could do, but one of them, on one of the lessons, was to continually focus on the 23rd Psalm. And so it was, you put it in your pocket, and you would just take it with you. You would read it in the day, you would read it in the morning. When you first woke up, you would read it just whenever you were starting to feel a little bit stressed out. It was something to just pull out and read. And so it was to do that for a whole entire week, to keep Psalm 23 with you every step of the way. And so what I have found is that after doing something like that after the week, I felt a whole lot better about a lot of different things. And it was really far-reaching in the sort of comfort that it brought me. And so I know that all of us are a little bit frazzled, and we're all just happy that we all made it here this morning. And just the December season, as much as we don't want it to get chaotic, it gets chaotic, and no fault of our own. And so I thought, what would be the best thing for us as a congregation, but for this week to really focus in on the 23rd Psalm? And what has happened for me and my own spiritual nourishment from this text, I can't begin to tell you all the different ways, but the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my leader. The Lord is my caretaker. The Lord is my guide. And so when I read just even that first line and that first moment, that first inkling where I have a little bit of anxiety or stress about whatever's going on in my life, in my world right now, in that moment, just that phrase alone begins alleviating the sort of stress in my life. Just knowing and trusting and being reminded that I have someone who cares for me and is leading me. There are things that that happen around Christmas season. Who's been asked this question, or who has asked the question, what do you want for Christmas? Have you asked that question? Have people asked that to you? And it leads that sort of wanting desire of, oh, what is it that I need? And then suddenly there's this sort of this little thing of the anxiety of, oh, what is it that I need? And then we start going into whatever direction it is. We ask our kids, and they ask for the moon. But the Lord is our shepherd, and I just want you to think about this. I shall not want. Sometimes we think, okay, or like that text gets kind of confused a little bit. All that is saying is, with the Lord as our shepherd, all of our needs are cared for. Let that sink in to the sort of materialism of Christmas, into the sort of all of the distractions that go in. And so as I think about what this text can do for us, it can really fight back some of that sort of pressure of having to do everything we possibly can for our kids and just feeling like we have to go way over on our budget. It gives me great security in knowing that our family will be well cared for if we stick within the budget that we've figured out for our kids, that whatever stresses we have going on in work and our relationships, whatever those wants and desires are, if we truly believe that the Lord is our shepherd, we have in him all of our needs met. And you start looking at, you know, the Black Friday ads on Thursday of Thanksgiving. It's like, ooh, that would be nice. Ooh, that would be nice. You know, and it's like we're created to think that we need to have more, that we don't have enough. And I really, truly I just want you to let a text like this resonate in your heart and your mind and meditate upon it all week. And you report back to me and you tell me whether or not you're ready for Christmas or not, by realizing and discovering that in the gift of the Good Shepherd, you have all that you need and all that you could ever desire and want. And this is not just some positive self-talk. This is good theology working on your heart, reminding you that we serve a good and glorious God who has gifted us with everything we need. And I hope that we would not just turn it into self-talk, but that we would meditate on God's word and let it do its work on our hearts, that in Christ we have all that we need and desire, that he makes us lie down in green pastures, he leads us beside still waters, he's the one who restores our soul. And as I think about just all of the variety of things going on in our lives, all of you have something that you need God to come and minister to your soul. Just something going on that's been eating away at you, things that are stressing you out, anxiety and hurt. There is a wide variety of things happening to all of you. And I just want to give you strength and comfort today in knowing that God's word is true today as it was 2,000 years ago. That Christ is the one who can restore our souls, that he can nourish and strengthen us. He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He can guide our steps. Even though we might go through the valley of the shadow of death, we can fear no evil, for he is with us. His rod and staff, they comfort us. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He anoints our head with oil, and our cup overflows. And surely his goodness, surely the mercy of Christ will follow us all the days of our lives. And we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you will keep this text with you for the week, I can give a scriptural guarantee that your life will have peace and strength. And just for me, I have it somewhat memorized, and all I have to really start saying is, the Lord is my shepherd. And I can know the rest of the narrative is that God is with me, that God cares for me, that he's leading me. And so I'd ask a simple homework assignment. Enjoy your candy cane reminding you of the shepherd's hook. And take this with you wherever you go. And maybe you don't need the card, but just the challenge is, would you reflect on the Good Shepherd? In John chapter 10, if you flip over a little ways, we will be reminded of who the Good Shepherd is and what it means for us. In John chapter 10, in verse 11. He says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and they shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it for me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. The command I received from my Father. We have in Christ the good shepherd who cares for his flock because they are his own. He is not the hired hand. He cares deeply for all of us, and we know he knows our name, he knows our voice, and we know his. And so this morning, as we reflect on the goodness of Christ and the gift of a king, the gift of a savior, we also have the gift of a shepherd, one who was leading us, caring for us, guiding us, and we follow his voice. And so to those that are outside of Christ this morning, we have good news for you, that there is a way of entering in, and Jesus says he is the gate, that he is the way into the sheepfold, that through Christ you can come and believe in him. We have, for those who are hurting, we have a great level of comfort and strength in knowing that we have a shepherd who will guide us and lead us through whatever the valley is that we're going through today, knowing and believing and trusting that there's a shepherd who knows our voice, a shepherd who listens to us and cares for us and meets our needs. And for those who are hungry to pursue Christ and seek first his kingdom, those who are yearning to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, we have a challenge before us this week to remember and reflect upon Christ being our shepherd and listening to where his voice might be leading us to go, letting his staff guide us and lead us, not being a stubborn sheep, but an obedient one. And letting him guide us and correct us and lead us back to the pasture of, to the green pastures, to the places of nourishment and strength. We can trust and know that whatever our journey is, wherever we are at right now in our walk with Christ, we can trust and know that the shepherd's hook will guide us and lead us to wherever it is. That if we're facing struggles in our life, and whatever that might be for you, you can trust and know that there is a good shepherd who will guide us and lead us back to the place of nourishment, strength, and love. He is with us in his mercy and his grace and his love. So this morning, you have a very simple, if someone says, what was your preacher's message about this morning? It was about a candy cane, telling us about how Jesus is our good shepherd. He's given his life for us, that you can have life no matter what's going on. It's the simple message of Christmas. It says that there is love for you, that you're being guided by a shepherd who cares deeply for you. Christmas, in some small way, is about a good shepherd who came to lead us and care for us and protect us. Whatever's going on in our lives, we have the good shepherd in Christ. And I hope that you will take up my challenge. If you don't have pockets, put it in your purse. But whatever it might be, take this card with you. More importantly, take the scriptures and put it and impress upon it, upon your heart. And remember that you have the good shepherd with you, whatever is going on this week. So in anticipation of Christmas, remember our good shepherd. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you so much, and I thank you for this morning. God, we have a simple message, but an important one, one that reminds us of your leading and caring for your people. God, you have not forgotten us. You have not gone about your work. You haven't just created your creation and just leave us hanging dry. God, that whatever hurt, whatever heartache is going on in our lives, right now we know that you care for us by sending your Son. God, that we know that as we seek to your kingdom, as we seek to live to glorify your name, we know, God, that you are leading and guiding us through your gentle Son. Father, that we would listen to his voice, and as his sheep, Lord, that we would learn to get rid of the distraction and all of the noise, that we would focus in on what your Son has to say to us. And so, God, all of these challenges are only overcome through our prayer in you. God, that we would trust and believe and know. And so I'd ask that you would stir in our hearts. Lord, that this morning, if we need a little bit of the soil tilled up so that we might receive the seed of truth from your word, God, that you would do that now, and you would do heart work on each of us this morning. That we would accept the truth that you are our shepherd, and in you we have all we need. God, we need you this morning. And as your people, we hurt for our world, for your world that doesn't know you. God, that is so hardened to the gospel that it can't receive the truth of your Son. And so, God, we pray for our world. We know that you're doing something about it. We pray for our families, Lord, that for those who don't believe, that they would come to know and believe and trust in your Son. For our families, God, we would pray that they would be protected, that they would be helped, that this season would be one in which our hearts are turned back towards you. God, for our church body, we pray for its health. Lord, for the people who are physically hurting, for those who are emotionally and spiritually waning, God, we pray for them. Let today be the day that we turn and listen to the voice of your Son. God, lead us through the valleys. Lead us to the pastures and nourishing water, and restore our souls. God, let this week be a week that we are reminded of you often, of your goodness and your grace and your love. We love you. It's in Christ's name that we pray. Amen.